Welcome to The Voice of Business, a podcast series from the CBI. I'm Alexi Mostras, an editor and partner at Tortoise. We're focusing in these podcasts on the big decisions that people in business are having to make in the COVID-19 pandemic, their coronavirus judgment calls. Everyone is finding their way in this lockdown. I want to hear about the kinds of decisions we're all confronting in the most difficult circumstances we've ever encountered. My guest in this episode is Robin Mills, Managing Director of Compass Group. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Alexi.
How are you?
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I'm good. So do you mind kicking us off by quickly outlining what Compass does and how we might have all come into contact with its work?
Well, Compass is the world's largest caterer. We also do other things like cleaning and portering and receptions. And in the UK, people may have come across us in offices where we serve their healthy food over lunchtimes and so on, in sporting venues, schools, hospitals, defence bases, even oil rigs and high-end restaurants.
How many people do you employ, both directly and indirectly?
So in the UK, we employ around 50,000 people. And then during the sporting season, then we can have another 10 or 11 or 12,000 people join us. I think there's a weekend in July with Test Match and Wimbledon and a couple of other things, and we go right up to an extra 12,000 people.
Wow. So listen, before we get into COVID, do you mind just casting your mind back to December 2019? Tell me, what sort of position then was Compass in coming into the new year?
We were going well. We were in good shape, where the business was growing. We were winning new business. We were developing exciting food offers. We were investing in some interesting tech. So some of the food trends that you'll have seen, we were very much at the front of, and spirits were good. It was a good time.
So tell me, how did you at Compass UK or Compass internationally, but tell me how either or both groups began to realise that COVID-19 was more than just a localised problem, that it actually posed a risk on a global basis?
Well, of course, as a global business, we could see what was happening at first hand in China and in Asia Pacific. My colleague who runs that region was starting to really explain what was going on. So we could see it coming. I mean, I think it was still unclear just how far it would get and how deep it would impact society as a whole. But that was the very first stages, was to watch how the Chinese business was affected. Of course, in the UK then, the story really began for us with the quarantine centre that was set up at Kent Hill in Milton Keynes, which was a conference centre that we ran. And so we were approached by the government in over a matter of days to ask us to be the hosts for that plane load of people that came back in, I don't know, when was it, end of January, February. And so we had a very early, pretty deep experience of supporting those individuals, and we looked after them at Milton Keynes for a couple of weeks.
What was that quarantine situation like? Was everyone dressed up in massive amounts of PPE?
So we worked very closely with Public Health England on those processes and got to know them very well. And the conference centre itself lends itself to a nice separation between cooking and serving food, and then Public Health England would liaise with the guests in their rooms. So we had a whole new set of processes and protocols designed to keep our people safe and the guests happy. We learned a lot from that time. And actually, it was really the lessons that we learned there that we were able then to bring back into the wider organisation very quickly to cope with how the impact then affected the rest of the business.
What were some of those lessons, those key lessons that you learned?
Well, clearly having the right protective equipment was important right from the very start. Dealing with employees' concerns and communication was very important. So we spent a lot more time explaining to people what was happening, what the risks were or weren't. It was at that stage that we realised that if people didn't want to do anything, then they didn't have to do it. So it meant that we had to provide extra shifts and extra people in reserve, if you like. until individuals' confidence grew, and then they realized that actually it was reasonably straightforward. So I think they were some of the very early lessons, that it was all about making sure that people were properly protected and trained, and more importantly, had the right confidence.
Well, what at that time, maybe after the quarantine in Milton Keynes, when the UK was beginning to shut down and it was all getting really, really serious, what was going on at Compass HQ? Did you guys assemble a crack team to work out a strategy of how to get through this?
I'm not sure we'd call ourselves a crack team, but we certainly came together very tightly in the early days. If you remember, there was a week where people were encouraged not to come into the office before actual lockdown. And so we had a group of 6 or 10 of us who were very spread out, even in those days, in the office. And we were watching the announcement at 5 o'clock together, and we were very quickly able to get together, because it was all about speed of response and also about clear communication out to the rest of the business. So we had a week where there was a very small number of us, a tight team, that were able to communicate quickly and work things out and then get that out to the rest of the business. Then, of course, the following week, lockdown was officially imposed, and then we were all working remotely.
Compass works within some sectors that were hugely impacted and still are hugely impacted by the crisis, like sport, and also in others that are or have been made more essential by the crisis, like hospitals. Tell me a little bit about how you diverted resources from one sector to another.
Well, you're absolutely right. Sport was effectively closed. It's a very big business for us, but it's effectively closed. Healthcare became much busier, and even the defence bases became busier as well, as soldiers and families and so on were withdrawn from their tours abroad and brought back into the UK. So we had an organisation that was requiring more people on one side and had too many people on the other. So it became very clear that part of our success was going to be in how we were able to redeploy people across from one organisation to the other. Actually, the real secret of success for us was that we put the guy who was in charge of sport in charge of this flexible labour resourcing. And because the whole sport model is built on bringing 2,000 or 3,000 people to a big venue for 3 or 4 days and having them work very effectively from day one and then move to another venue the following week. And so those people were not working at Premier League football grounds or the racecourses of the UK and were keen to help the national effort. They were already Compass trained and inducted, and they have that very flexible attitude of mind, and they can pick things up and build relationships quickly. So that really was the secret of our success, I think, in the early days, because it became obvious that we couldn't afford to skip a beat on supporting the NHS, and we actually got that system up and running in a couple of days.
I don't know whether Compass staff were involved in putting on catering or hospitality at Cheltenham, were they?
Yeah, Cheltenham was probably the last big event that we did.
Obviously, it was quite controversial at the time, and the decision to hold Cheltenham has since become more controversial. There have been an increase, I think, in the coronavirus cases seen in the areas immediately around Cheltenham. At the time when Cheltenham was being put on, did Compass or you raise any concerns? Did you have any concerns about the fact that Cheltenham was continuing to take place, that it hadn't been called off?
Well, I mean, we were very much guided by the advice at the time, and we made sure that we had the processes that we thought would keep people safe and protected in place. There were, even at that stage, good levels of PPE, hand washing. We'd already reinforced all the right hygiene protocols as well. And like everybody else, we were guided by the advice at the time.
And tell me a bit about what services Compass is now offering to the NHS.
Well, we would normally be offering the catering and cleaning and portering in hospitals. We would also run some retail shops in a number of the hospitals. The retail shops have largely closed or been reduced because there's no outpatients, or there's a reduced outpatient requirement, and of course there are very few visitors at the moment. But we are doing more cleaning and we're offering different services now. So we introduced 20 pop-up supermarkets, for want of a better phrase, in NHS hospitals so that NHS workers and our employees could get access to their groceries. It's probably eased a little bit now, but certainly 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was a really key part of looking after people. So we probably put about maybe 12 or 13,000 extra shifts into supporting the NHS during that period.
Do you have any way of measuring or tracking the number of Compass employees, either staffers or interim employees, who have caught COVID-19?
Yeah, we have our tracking processes in place for people who are self-isolating and then people who have confirmed positive. So we review that very regularly.
And you haven't seen any spikes in the numbers that would trouble you in terms of proportionate infection rates compared with the wider population?
No, absolutely not. No, I think it's probably been lower than normal, I guess.
During this crisis, what is the relationship between Compass and the government?
Actually, one of the very positive experiences that we've had through the crisis has been the relationship with government. So very early on, we were part of the Crown representative system that the government deploys, and the Crown rep who supports Compass made contact in the very early days, and we've had a very strong relationship all the way through, very much two-way. So we'd put our opinions forward and our suggestions and thoughts, and then equally I'd get a phone call from the Crown rep after an announcement or after a piece of guidance to say, what do you think, how will you react, is it helpful? You know, is there anything else we should be considering? And because of the breadth of our sector experience, then we've been involved with various government departments very directly. And I think it's been a very positive change. And I would like to think that it would continue, maybe not quite at the same level, but I think in general, I think it's been a very useful process.
During this time, there has been a lot of stress on many ordinary people. How are you keeping up morale within your company?
Well, Compass is a people business, maybe even before it's anything else. 80%, 90% of what we do is really through our people. And so it became very, very clear very early on that the support we give our people was going to be an absolutely vital part of success here. So we gave some bonuses, particularly to NHS workers, throughout this period to recognise the extra pressure that they were going to be under. We gave out food parcels, and I've already talked about the supermarkets that we set up in the NHS world. We created a helpline for people to call. We always have a whistleblowing helpline run by a third party that many organisations have, and so we track that very specifically. But we actually set up a group of people who made calls to employees who were not at work or self-isolating. So we probably made about 1,000 of those calls. And that enabled us to keep in touch really closely with how people felt. The senior team also set up weekly sort of phone calls and videos with a cross-section of their employees, different people each time. So we really increased the amount of communication that was going two ways. And it's an amazing thing, but the morale is probably better than ever. I mean, the spirit out there is being fantastic. I think for people in our industry, they're often supporting or somewhere in the back of whatever everybody else is doing. And I think what happened in this episode is it's given a new meaning and a new status to the caterers and the cleaners and the porterers, because everybody's realised, A, just how difficult those jobs are, and B, how important they are. And our people particularly have really felt even more valued and recognised than ever.
And at the same time as giving out bonuses for NHS workers, has the executive team taken pay cuts or cancelled their own bonuses?
Yep, we've taken up to 30% right across the board. And I mean, that was one of the shortest conversations I've had with my team. They were absolutely keen to share in the contribution that everybody was having to make one way or another.
Let's look slightly broader now at what happens in the next 6 months to a year. There's going to be the immediate effect of COVID, which we might be coming towards the end of that first stage. And then there's going to be a kind of post-vaccine back to normality stage. But potentially there's a mid stage between those two. How do you see Compass's business, particularly around hospitality and sport, functioning over that period?
Well, you're right. The way to think about it at the moment seems to be in this pre-vaccine, post-vaccine world. And the protocols that we're now starting to see more common in our lives, social distancing, masks even, contactless pay, screens and so on, feel like they're going to be around for a little while. And so I think in the short term, then we're having to adapt our food offers to live within that particular environment. In some ways, really, it's only accelerating the kind of trends that we're already starting to see. So more tech in support of food offers, more click and collect. And they were all processes and facilities that we had, and we've now been able to bring them forward a lot more. So you'd see in maybe an office environment, there would still be some restaurant facility, but also the ability to order in advance and pick up at an arranged time, and then maybe even order to take food away, and then maybe even order to have food delivered at home. And we were already on that journey. I think actually this crisis has enabled us to speed up those capabilities.
Is there a correlation between the adoption of tech in the ways that you've just spoken about and a reduction in the overall number of employees that are necessary to carry that out?
Not necessarily, actually, because tech enables you to serve more people more quickly. And in many of our environments, there were more people to be served. So I actually think what we call participation rates, so how many people in a given venue or a place or a hospital out of all the people who are there do you feed? And we always had the opportunity to look after even more people. So I think not necessarily.
Thank you so much, Robin, for coming on. We really appreciate you giving us the time to tell us about what Compass are doing during this really difficult period.
Thank you, Alexi.
Bye now. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.